I want to talk about the mitzvah of karbanah, which is actually, there's many mitzvahs in the Torah relating to the different sacrifices, the different karbanos. The word karban seems most connected to the word karov, krav, which means close or to come close. So we'll have to see, you know, if that ties into some of the explanations for what we're trying to accomplish when we bring a karban. What's the idea behind, you know, taking an animal and putting it on the altar for God? You know, what are we trying to do when we have the service in the temple, which we pray that should be restored? What is this idea that, you know, now it seems like arcane and archaic and just like foreign to us? But like all the mitzvahs, there's a depth to it, there's a reason for it. So that's what I want to explore. So the Rambam talks about this in a couple of different places in Mara Nevosim. And I'm going to maybe, some will say, go out of order in terms of where he addresses it, but you'll see why. So I want to start with what he talks about in Perek, this is all in Chelakim, in the third section of Mara Nevochim, of Guide to the Perplexed. And in the third section, in Perek Mem Vav, in chapter 46, he says as follows. He says, I'm going to tell you the reason for each of the different karbanos as I understand it. We know that, he says, the Torah says it, the Targum Onkelos explains it this way, that the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, worshipped the Mazel Tzeh, the sheep, the Mazel of sheep. And because of that, they forbade anyone from slaughtering sheep in their land. And they despised and were disgusted by shepherds. The Patara describes the Karban Pesach as sacrificing Toavas Mitzrayim, the Toavah, the abomination of the Egyptians, but meaning their idol. And other nations, we're going to see they refer to as the Kastim, they worship Shadim, like demons. And they thought that these demons looked like goats. That's how these people who worship the demons, pictured their demon as goats. And therefore, they sometimes refer to Shadim, which are demons, as Seirim, which are goats. And he says this was very common. And the Torah refers to something called this. It's a command. Don't bring sacrifices to the Seirim that they bring. They sacrifice to, that they slaughter for, to these goats. And these people would not allow people to eat goats. And as well, in places there were places where bakar, where cattle was worshipped. And you couldn't eat that. In many places, he says, and he says still, this is the Rambam writing, I think this is true nowadays also, in India, in Hodu, which is India, until this day, says the Rambam, they won't slaughter cattle at all. I mean, there's still some respect or worship of cows and things in India, bulls. So this was, in the 12th century, so way back. So he says, in order to rid ourselves of these ideas and of these opinions, which are incorrect, these different idolatries, so therefore, Hashem commanded us to bring these specific animals as the karbanos. So, the pasuk says, "Min abeimah, min abakar, min atzon, takrivas karban chem." right, from the animals, which is more general. Minat bakar, from cattle. Minat son, from sheep. You should bring your karbanos. And the idea was to sort of drill home, you know, to completely go against the grain, go against those who worship these animals, and that way it would bring us closer to Hashem, using their God, that which they worship, we would bring ourselves closer to Hashem. It would be a denial of what they believe, and that's how you cure a person from, you know, he says, just as right, the way to rid oneself of ideas that are improper is to go to the opposite end of the spectrum. And so if you believed, if people believed that these were gods, so no, we use these, we take them and we sacrifice them to our God. And that's like completely obliterating that idea, and it would wipe it from our memories, wipe it from our minds. And that's why we bring those animals. That's the idea of the Karban Pesach also, where we took the sheep, which they worshipped, right, and in Egypt, and slaughtered it. Then he adds something interesting. He says it also happens to be that these animals are most available, you know. They're easy to come by. It's not like the idol worshippers, that they would bring lions and bears and desert animals as their sacrifices. No, the Torah kind of doesn't make it too hard on us and allows us to, commands us to bring sacrifices from those animals that are most accessible. And, you know, you can raise them. And since many people can't afford that, so if they can't afford it, then they can bring it from an oak, from a bird, the most common ones in Eretz Yisrael, the Torim and B'nai Yonah, the turtle doves, and I don't remember the different kinds of dove, turtle dove, and Yonah's dove, or Yonah's turtle dove, and Tor is something else, but these most common birds in Israel, and if you can't afford that, then you can bring bread, and et cetera. He says, the over the Avodah Zarah, when they would bring, you know, these types of products, they would bring, make them very sweet with honey and different things. Therefore, we can't bring honey in our sacrifices, and they would not put salt, so we have to put salt, and we just totally do the opposite of what the idol worshippers would do, and that is the idea behind these sacrifices. That is what the Rambam writes in chapter 46.
Why not discontinue the sacrifice?
Discontinue them?
Yeah, if idolaters are bringing sacrifices, even though we could do the opposite of that and not bring
it. It's a very good question, and the answer is going to come from the other piece of Rambam, which I'm holding off from reading for a moment for a specific reason. The Ramban, Nachmani, attacks the Rambam over this paragraph that I just read to you, over these ideas. The Ramban is in Parshas Vayikra, and he quotes the Rambam that the idea behind these sacrifices is that the Egyptians worship sheep, and the Chasdim, they worship the Shadim, the demons, which were like goats, and the people of India wouldn't slaughter cattle, and therefore Hashem commanded us that we should bring these three animals as sacrifices in order to remove those ideas from our memories. It would cure us. It would improve our thinking towards the right, perspective and hashkafa, and that was the reason for those karbanos. So the Ramban says this is ridiculous. And he says you're going to take the Shulchan Hashem, the table of God, and you're going to make it that the whole purpose is just to, you know, sort of contradict Rishayim, evildoers, and tipshel, I mean, idiots. That's the whole reason. It's all we're trying to do is, like, convince ourselves that not to do, you know, idolatry. That's the whole idea behind the sacrifices. The Torah describes it as lechem ishei v'reach v'choach. It's a pleasant smell for Hashem. It's, you know, it's some kind of gift to God. And you're saying, Rambam, you're just saying that the whole purpose is that we, you know, teach ourselves not to worship idolatry. He says, that can't be.
Go out and tell them.
He says,
hold on, before you start, I want to tell you.
Not only that, but they wouldn't mind sacrificing the animals to their gods. It's true, they might not eat them. But to sacrifice them, that they would do. We find that's what the verse says. It says, don't sacrifice anymore to their goat. That's to their seirim, the verse describes. It commands us, you know, don't do like they're doing and sacrificing to their goat. What do you think they're sacrificing? They're sacrificing animals to their animals, to their animal god. And we find by the Egel, by the golden calf, where they were worshipping this calf, they brought sacrifices to the golden calf. So there is a concept of, says the Ramban, of bringing sacrifices from animals for a worshipping animals. And that, you know, so that can't, we're not getting rid of that idea by sacrificing animals. Not only that, he says, but we find that in the Torah, records of people who brought karbanos, sacrifices, well before there was rampant avodah zarah in the world, well before there were the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, and the Kassim. Noach, he says, brought a karban. Noach, when he came out of the teva, brings a sacrifice. And Hashem, and Vayita Be'ene Hashem, and it was good in the eyes of God. And it says, Vayarech Hashem Esreach HaNichoach, and Hashem smelled the pleasant smell, says, and as a result, Hashem says, I'm not going to curse the land anymore. So, you know, there was no Avodah Zarah to overcome in that time. Not only that, but even Hevel, one of Adam Arishon's children, brings a sacrifice. There's no Avodah Zarah in the world at that point. So there has to be, there has to be something more to this than just getting rid of the ideas of the idolatry, you know, idols. So you don't want to know what the reason is? The reason for karbanos is as follows. The idea is that the actions of man are carried out through with our minds, with our mouths, and through action, actively. So therefore Hashem commands us that when we sin, when we go do wrong, so we bring a karban, we bring a sacrifice. So part of the sacrifice is you place your hands on it. He says that corresponds to action, to maisa, you put your hands on it. And then you confess with your mouth. That's corresponding to the sins of speech, or the aspects of sin that come with speech. And then you burn the innards and the kidneys, which we associate in Jewish literature with the thinking and the desire. And then the feet, corresponding to a man's feet and legs, which are, sorry, hands and feet, which are what we use to do all of everything that we do. We use our hands and our feet, and we sprinkle blood on the altar, which corresponds to our own blood. When we do this, he says, we're supposed to think that we sinned against Hashem, with our bodies and our souls. And really, it would be proper for our own blood to be spilled and our own bodies to be burned, except for the kindness of Hashem that He'll take something in our stead. He'll take an animal in our stead. And this carbon is sacrificed and atone for us, a soul for a soul, and we give portions to Kohanim in order to sustain them in, so that they'll daven for us, and that's the idea behind the carbon. That, you know, each aspect of it has coincides with a different part of our faculties that are involved in sin, and it's a way of showing, you know, it should have been me on there, but, you know, out of your kindness, Hashem, you know, you're allowing me to bring the animal instead. That is what the Ramban says is the idea behind the karpa. He goes on to bring another more Kabbalistic reason, which I didn't really follow.
How could slaughtering an animal make up for something you did morally wrong?
That's a good question. I wouldn't say that it's making up for it, but it's the process could be a rehabilitating process where you see this and you realize, you know, this really should be me, I've done wrong, this corresponds to this part of my action, this corresponds to this part of my action, and, you know, I'm going to make sure not to do it again. It helps the person realize and acknowledge, part of the process of acknowledging and repenting over their avera.
Seems like you could easily take advantage of it as just sort of get into the habit.
Well, I don't think it will work if you just, you know, if you're not one who sins and says, I'm singing with the intention of doing tshuva, doesn't work. The tshuva is not accepted. The repentance isn't accepted. Not only that, but, I mean, there are many different kinds of karban. But you can't bring a karban on that sin that you did intentionally. It only works on things that are done accidentally. So, in general, I believe.
What do you have to do for a sin you did intentionally?
Very obviously have the ability to change my heart, whether it's the right thing to do or not, the discussion of this tomorrow that we just saw. But the fact that you have that authority, that you have that prerogative to change your mind,
you just, well, some sins you, the base thing will actually punish the person with lashes. Some there's nothing you could do. You could just do tshuva, you know, between your, you know, yourself and God and yourself and your fellow men, but there's not necessarily a process, a punishment that, you know, the punishment, there may be a punishment, but it might be a bidei shamayim, in the hands of heaven, you know, some kind of punishment, which you have to try to do tshuva to get out of.
Well, no, when I said mutter, that means not only
So that's the Ramban's reason. It's as if you're imagining yourself as if it was you. You realize it should be you on that altar, and there's different parts of the sacrifice that correspond to the different faculties that are involved in the person's sin.
Which means that when he said you're allowed to,
so
it's a large.
The Ramban seems to have some very compelling questions on the Rambam. You know, first of all, you're limiting karbanos to just this little thing that's, it's also, it's fleeting in a way. Like, once you've gotten rid of those ideas, then, like, why do you need this thing anymore? You ask on the Rambam, you're limiting karbanos just to get rid of these idolatrous ideas, that's it. There's nothing more to it. And he also asked that, you know, we find that Noah brought karbanos, Cain brought a carbon cutting Hevel. So that Hevel brought the animal. So what's going on? How could we, you know, what can we say to reconcile the Rambam? So there's a number of different approaches offered. And the first, the earliest one that I can share with you is from the Ritva. The Ritva was a student of the Ramban, and he wrote a sefer called Sefer HaZikaron. And even though the Ritva worked within the Mesorah, the tradition of the Ramban, and not the Rambam, but he still wrote a sefer to try to answer, on behalf of the Rambam, all of the questions that the Ramban asks on the Rambam. All of the questions that Nachmanides asks on Maimonides. So, he says, first of all, and much later, Yaakov Kamenetsky says the same thing. The Rambam didn't say that this is the only reason. He said this is, or he never meant that this was the only reason. This is a reason. There may be other reasons, you know, but, you know, one reason among many for Karbon. You know, the way Rabbi Yaakov gets into it a little bit more, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, you know, basically from the last generation, more of a contemporary, so as opposed to medieval like the Ritva, Rabbi Yaakov, he says, you know, the Rambam himself writes that a person should think, should contemplate the laws of the Torah, try to understand their end as much as he can, at least. If he doesn't know the reason, so, you know, he shouldn't rebel against it. The Rambam actually describes karbanos as chukim, as laws that we don't really know the reason for, but we still effort to understand, you know, as much as we can. But he wasn't necessarily saying that this is the only reason. That's one important point. But the Ritva is a much more important point to make against the Ramban, which is, he says, Rebbe, you were so quick to try to attack the Rambam that you forgot, or you missed, that this isn't the only place in Mora Nevochim that the Rambam talks about Karbanos. In fact, in this paragraph, the Rambam says, in our paragraph that we were just reading, the Rambam starts off, that we talked about karbanos u'kvar zacharnu toa lasam b'chlal. I already described to you in general what their purpose is. And now I'll start to tell you what each one on its own is. That's how he starts the paragraph that I just read to you, that we just discussed in the Rambam. So he references that this isn't the first time he's talking about this. I already told you the reason in general for karbanos, and now I'm going to tell you what the specific reason is. So the Ritva says, you know, he gives a different reason that may be more workable for us. So that reason is given back in Perek Lamed Beis, and there the Rambam writes as follows. He says that common practice at the time of the giving of the Torah, the time the Jews left Mitzrayim, in that era in the world, was that everybody brought animal sacrifices. That's how everybody worshipped in those days. In their temples that they would put up for their idols, they would bring ketores, they would bring incense, and they would have priests for it, people in charge of this, and that's how they worshipped, whether it was an idol, whether it was the sun or the moon, a temple for them. So, He says, in Hashem's great wisdom, Torah's great wisdom, he didn't command us to just abandon those practices, to skip those practices like you suggested, because that wouldn't have been easy to accept. It would have been wrong against our nature, which is, our nature is to do that which we're used to. And it would be as if somebody would come now, a Navi, a prophet, and say, right, and he says, you know, this is how you're supposed to serve Hashem, he says. Hashem commands you, don't daven to him anymore, and don't fast, and don't ask for salvation when you're in trouble. Rather, just do everything in your mind. Imagine a Navi would come to us now and say, you know, forget this whole davening thing with the minyan and all that. No, just sit at home and just think for 5 minutes, and that's how you're going to serve Hashem now. So, like I said, that's what Hashem commanded, you know? So we would be like, we wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. We have our approach to how we serve God. So he says that because of that, Hashem left them the way, the method of service that they were used to, that they grew up with, like everybody did. He changed it, redirected it from idols to the one true God. But he left it, and he commanded us to build him a temple. Asuli Mikdash, make me a temple, and that there should be an altar, and for him, and there should be karbanos, and they should be for him, and that we should burn incense there. So, all of this was because that's what they were used to. And to completely change the method of service that they're used to wouldn't, you know, I don't know, it would have been too hard, it wouldn't have been accepted. That's what the Rambam said.
What about when the Messiah comes? Is there going to be more sacrifices?
That's a very good question. I saw implications one way and the other, so I'm not sure at the end. At the end of the day, there's a paragraph here that seems to say that there will be. On the other hand, apparently there's a Rambam, or there are those who say that the Rambam says that there won't be, so I wasn't clear. I think your Yaakov can say that there will be.
Because it won't be used to it.
Right, part of what he's saying is we daven, the Sham Nagri Vonecha, right, we daven in Musaf of Shalosh Regalim. I mean, we really in davening every day, we say, the Hashem Es Avoda Lidvir Beisecha, that you should return the service to your temple. The Isha Yisrael Tfilos Nabeava Tzikava B'Rotzen, and the Isha, the fire, the sacrifice, which is the Karbana. That's one point. He quotes it seems that there's a question, there are those who wanted to change the Nusa, the words we use in the Tfila of Musa. Actually, we say on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, we say, but Mizbeach Chodesh b'Tzion Tachin, you should prepare a new Mizbeach, a new altar. Olas Rosh Chodesh Na'ale Olav, and we'll bring an Ola sacrifice on it, and other sacrifices, and the service of the temple will all celebrate. Yeah. So, there we're going to, I guess we say this thing almost, we're going to bring the sacrifices there. He refers to, so apparently, in some part of Musaf, we say, and there we will bring sacrifices before you, and some apparently changed it to, and there we we brought, not we will bring. And they based it on Rambam, but he said in the back of that, no, it's incorrect. Certainly we will bring sacrifices once again in future times. And so the Rambam says this was a strategy of Hashem to get rid of our Avodah Zarah, that we, you know, of the idolatry that people were involved in, and at the same time to we were sort of just redirecting, and come that way we would come to Emunah, to belief in Hashem. And that's what the Rambam said. So the Ritva in the Sefer HaZikaron says, you know, here the Rambam saying something quite different. He's saying that this is a method of service. It's not just to get rid of the Avodah Zarah that was in our minds. That's how we're going to serve Hashem, because that's the way that we're used to serving Hashem. Now, it's still a very interesting concept that, like, the Torah is adjusting to times. Like, it's really interesting where this comes from. I think I've heard further discussion about this Rambam, but I didn't see any in my preparation for this. It's just a really interesting idea that the Torah is sort of molding to the times.
That's why I would think when the Messiah comes, there wouldn't be kibbutz, because we're not used to it now.
Right. Yeah, so according to this, it would make sense that there wouldn't be. But there seems that there will be.
Up until now, has been discussing,
we'll
get
into
the whole discussion.
Do you want to see if
the
Ritva says anything else? Right, so in terms of Noah, he says Noah indeed was.
That Yoni could still be Conan on behalf of Benjamin is Menelaus, right? Yoni is proxy for Benjamin.
Right, Noah was doing the right thing. The others were bringing sacrifices to idols, and he was bringing a sacrifice to Hashem. He figured out, or he knew what Hashem wanted. Hashem commanded it later in the Torah, but this is what Hashem wanted, was to direct your sacrifices and your worship towards Him. And the Rambam already writes, he says, that the stories of Bereishis are to teach us, you know, Yesodos, foundational ideas, and so it's to teach us to distance ourselves from Avodah Zarah, etc. So that is the Ritva's explanation for the Rambam is that, you know, there's a whole other aspect which the Rambam seems to ignore, which is that it was a form of sacrifice, and but as the Rambam describes, the purpose of doing it this way was because that's what they were accustomed to. But it was still absolutely, you know, a way of serving Hashem.
What I was conscious and what is included in the explanation of my proposal.
Maybe I remembered it.
For Sazamara, Na'amai, why? Lema Hananami. Neho Dio, actually, that's the one for her.
The Meshech Chachma has another explanation for the Rambam. Very nice idea. So he doesn't bring in this other Rambam. He's just working with the Rambam that said that it's you know, that these were the Egyptian gods and the gods of the Chaldeans, and we're just trying to, you know, to go the other way as far as we can to show that these aren't that these are nothing. So he says that he, first of all, the way that he, I should mention, the way he quotes the Rambam, the Ramban, Nachmani, seems to be that he's really focusing on the second, the more Kabbalistic approach of the Ramban, which I didn't explain before, but the way that he describes it is that it's to bring together all the powers of the Olamos, and it's some kind of spiritual magnetism, which, you know, has some kind of, you know, just a, more of a Kabbalistic, like Nefesh HaChaim type of impact on the world, and that's the idea of the Karbanos. It's much deeper than just, you know, rejecting of Avodah Zarah. That was how, that's how he quotes the Ramban, the more Kabbalistic approach, the second approach to the Ramban, which I had, which I didn't mention.
That's the Ramban's idea?
Yeah, not mine. What?
The spheros?
Well, he's not, he doesn't say spheros, but olamos. And I don't think there's, I don't know too much about spheros, I don't know too much about olamos either, but different realms of spirituality. Spheros, I think, has more to do with impress, you know, different kofos, different power forces, everything that Hashem put into play in creation.
Their
Nesha Chochma says, I can make peace between these two approaches, the Rambam and the Ramban. And he does so in a beautiful way. He says, there are two types of karbanos. There are those that were brought sort of pre-temple on what we call a bama, which was a like an outdoor altar that somebody would just make in their backyard and bring a sacrifice. And then there's the mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash of the temple. So he says the bama, the sort of individual's mizbeach, the barbecue, that was indeed to rid ourselves of, you know, to counteract the Avodah Zarah that was surrounding us, to wipe from our minds those ideas, to ward off the impression of the influence of the environment. That was the idea of bringing a sacrifice on Obama. But not so the sacrifices of Beis HaMikdash, of the temple. They were certainly all these spiritual and Kabbalistic ideas of the magnetism of bringing together the Olamos and whatever this is referring to, but this grand, you know, profound impact on the world and the worlds at large, that was the sacrifice of the temple. He says, really, we see this in a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Ein Reach Nicholach B'Bama Ketana. There was no Reach Nicholach, this fragrant smell, on a small Mizbeach, on a small altar, on a small Bama. He says, you see, that wasn't the purpose of it. It wasn't for a Reach, it wasn't for a pleasant sacrifice to Hashem. It was in order to remind ourselves, to drill home to ourselves that Avodah Zarah, that idolatry was, you know, was fake. The Gemara says, Hanoder, one who takes an oath, Kiyivu Bama Bama. It's as if he built a Bama, one of these altars. Vamakaimo Kiyivu Hikrival of Karban. And if you fulfill it, it's as if you brought a sacrifice on it. You fulfill the oath. The idea is that the purpose of an oath is to separate yourself from something, to make a getter, to make a fence against something. And so too, Obama, that the purpose of Obama, the purpose of one of these altars, as we're describing, was to separate ourselves from the idolatry of the time. But when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so you don't need a Bama anymore. In fact, it's forbidden. Once the Beis HaMikdash was built, it became forbidden to bring, to build your own backyard Bama and bring a sacrifice. All sacrifices had to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Because you no longer need to, you know, make your own Bama to stop yourself from Avodah Zarah. There's a better way to do it. Go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a carbon to Hashem. Not to, you know, and automatically you'll be rejecting Avodah Zarah, but you'll be tapping into this great power, this great service of Hashem, and once you have that ability, then that's the way to do it, and you no longer need a Bama. That is how the Master Chochma sort of makes peace between these two ideas. He says that was the Rambam was talking about, getting rid of the ideas of Avodah Zarah of idolatry. That was the idea of the personal Bama, the personal altar. And the Ramban's description of the profound impact of a sacrifice, that was the sacrifice of the temple of the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash.
And what was the Rambam's second reason?
The Rambam's second reason was that that's what we were used to doing.
Oh, that we're just used to doing. Okay.
One more idea quickly, we're kind of out of time, but one more idea of just the whole idea behind Karbanos is in the Sefer HaKenah. And it really is a long piece, but the basic idea is that the Beit HaMikdash in general and the Karbanos was a training ground for serving Hashem, for connecting ourselves to Hashem, that by accustoming ourselves to serving Hashem, then we'll ingrain that idea that we are servants of Hashem into our minds, and it will become more natural, a natural part of ourselves. By engaging in these activities of serving Hashem, then it will naturally change ourselves into servants of Hashem.
I mean, all of us.
Right. Yeah. Or I guess specifically Karbanos, or something that we call Avoda, service to Hashem especially, something that's more like, you know, davening also, something that's more service oriented.
I imagine it has a much bigger impact on you, too.
Going to the temple. Sure. Yeah, yeah. Going to the temple, that's another discussion. Just a mere fact that you go to the temple. Yeah. All right. We're out of time, so we're going to hold it here.